Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I was reminded this week that I was, in my youth, something of a prodigal, and I went to a place in Tennessee that had a wonderful hotel. And in that hotel, the doors would open of the elevator, a red carpet would be pulled out, and then to stripper music, ducks would waddle out of the elevator to the fountain in the middle of the lobby, and they would swim around there all day long. Perhaps you've been to that hotel. But at the end of the day, the second act would take place when someone would come and lay down a red carpet all the way to the elevators from the fountain in the middle, and the ducks would hear the music once again, and they would waddle all the way back down the red carpet into the elevator to be taken up to where they were fed. I guess I remember that because I had watched Duck Dynasty. But whatever it was, it brought to my memory a story of ducks. And every Sunday, the ducks in a certain town will leave their houses and waddle down Main Street to the Duck Church. And as they waddled inside the sanctuary, they would waddle to the pew that they normally sat in and squat down. Then the duck choir would come in. And then the duck pastor would waddle up to the stage. And he would read from the duck Bible. And he would say, "Ducks, God has given you wings, wings in order for you to fly. You are to mount up and soar like eagles. No fence can contain you. No wall can keep you down. You are to fly like birds." And all the ducks said, "Amen." And then they would waddle out of the auditorium, waddle back to their houses. I guess the moral of that story is that sometimes the Word of God comes and is like water on a duck's back. It just simply slips away. You know, we heard a beautiful song a moment ago. It was supposed to go with my sermon, and it does. Because the song tells us that we're to take refuge in God and be dependent upon God. That is what we should do. Instead, we're too often dependent upon the power of electricity. That's something that, as a scientist, I can tell you that no one knows what it really is. But we trust by blind faith that when we turn on the light switch, things will happen. We drink water without any hesitation at all that is provided by the city. We live with a telephone in our hand or pocket. And I don't even understand the telephone. I can't make the cell phone do the things that it's supposed to do. We live by that. We depend on it. We depend on computers. We depend on things that you talk to and they don't hear you at all. We depend on food that we get from the grocery store. We depend on our doctors and our medicines, etc., etc., etc. Instead of depending upon the one who made us. God is our great physician. He feeds us with the food that we need. He supplies all of your needs by His riches in glory. That is what we should be doing. We should, not like the ducks, absorb what word we can, the truth of God's word, and keep it in our hearts and live by it, because that is what we are to do. That is what God has created you for. Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that once again Your promise is true, that where two or three of us are gathered together in Your name, there You are in the very midst of us. And so we welcome You here, Jesus. We welcome You, Holy Spirit. We welcome You, Father. Be here with us. Be in us. Be in us in such a way that You're not only residing in us, but come out through us into the world of hurt that we see around us. May we be Your true ambassadors. May we know You. And may we witness our knowledge of You to a world that is hurt. Father, may we hear Your words, not mine. As always, I ask for mine to be cast out. Mine are not the words that You would use. My thoughts are not Your thoughts. My ways are not Your ways. But Father, You have chosen broken vessels in order to come and dwell within them. May we hear from You today into our broken lives. May we hear the words of healing into our broken lives. May we hear the words of hope, of salvation, of forgiveness. Father, we are not what we need to be, but we pray that by Your words we will be lifted up and soar like eagles, as You intended for each of us to be. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. May we know that to be true today because of our dependence upon You. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you look with me into James once again? We'll start with verse 13. We'll read through 20. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. God has given a direct line to him. You know, that's one thing that I grew up as a boy with, a party line. Do you remember what a party line was? If you were a snoop, you loved a party line because you could sit there and listen to what other people said. If you were a gossip, the party line was a wonderful thing. But it was not a direct line. And then we got a direct line and we could talk to whoever we wanted to, anytime we wanted to, without any interference from the people on the line. Because it was a direct line. You have a direct line to God. Every single solitary person has a direct line to God. It is called prayer. You can, without anybody interfering, have that direct line to God. You can do that. God has created you to have communion with Him, to have a conversation with Him. God wants you. You know, sitting here, standing here before you, I realize that we're not the greatest looking group in the whole world. We're not. We're just don't look like we came out of the needless markup catalog. We're just people. And yet God doesn't see us that way. God sees in us the perfection of His creation. He created us to be above all other things, even above the angels. We are people, and God earnestly desires to communicate with you, to have that direct line with you. That's the reason the Bible says, pray without ceasing, because God wants that continuous interaction in our lives. You know, my children have grown up and gone away. Thank God, in a way, that they have. But amen, I heard. But the fact is that they have. They've gone to other places. I pray for them. And when I pray for them, I am with them. I am connected to them. But God doesn't want us to go away. He wants us to be at home with Him. And we stay at home with Him if we pray. The principal way we make ourselves dependent on God is to share with God everything that's on our hearts. Everything. Jesus said, cast off your cares on Me. He wants you to ask Him for everything. Now, I've heard many people say, well, it's too small. My deal is too small. Other people are in line before me. That's not true. Each of us has a direct line to God. God is waiting on your call. He is waiting for you to ask Him why. To ask Him whatever you need. And He will answer you. He will do that whenever we choose. We come to a crisis in life. We find that we suddenly have a foxhole faith. You know what I mean by a foxhole faith? I mean that in the foxhole there were no atheists. Because people knew that in the foxhole that they dug little trenches between themselves and the First World War. And they could hear, they could smell, they could understand the people that were close to them in a foxhole on the other side that were shooting at them. And once in a while they would throw beans or something else or nuts or something to them, and they would not be responded to with a weapon of some description, a grenade, but they would share in this way. They could hear them singing, they could hear them moaning. They could hear them groaning. They could hear and smell what they were cooking. They knew who their supposed enemies were, who were enduring in a foxhole. But do you think that God was listening in German as someone prayed to Him? Do you think that there was some sort of wall over that foxhole that they didn't hear? God heard the German's prayer. He heard the English prayer. He heard the Americans pray. He heard French pray. He heard people pray in His name. We're all caught up in the moment. We believe that nothing anybody can do will help us except for God. There is nothing God can't handle. You know, I've been in situations in my life where I just had to give myself to God because there was no other place to go. I was on an operating table at one time and someone decided to take my heart in their hands. I didn't know specifically that that's what they were going to do. They just told me, these masked people, that I was going to die if they didn't do something. And so I surrendered myself to God, and they opened up my chest, and they took out my still beating heart, and they sewed my artery onto it. Not before they had taken my rings off and taken them to Sandra, who was down the hall. That's all she had of me. But she had something of me in her hand, just as the physician had something of me in his hand. What they didn't know was that God had me in His hand. God will answer our problems. We can place our trust in Him alone. We can do that. That is what we should do. James tells us that we need prayer in times of crisis, but he also tells us that any time is a good time to call upon the name of the Lord. If you're cheerful, it's a good time to call upon the name of the Lord and praise Him for the fact that you are cheerful, that you have something to be cheerful about. God loves you. He desires for you only the best. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to have the fullness of life, the abundant life. He wants you to be able to use the gifts that He gave you so that you can pass on, like a conduit, those gifts to others. When sickness comes, you get the best medical help you can, you take the medicine, but you do not forget to tell the great physician your problems. He's waiting to hear from you. He already knows what your problems is, but He wants to hear that you acknowledge Him, that you are dependent on Him. And then He comes. We can only do so much with our own knowledge or power. It seems too little. I get all the time circulars and things in the mail that ask me to try to intervene in a small way to do what I can to help others. And these others may have been born with a deficiency that they need surgery for. They may need something. They may need some chicks or something to help them along the way of life. They need something. And they're asking me, a total stranger, to try to do what I can to help them. This past couple of weeks, I've asked you to try to help Samaritan's Purse in their effort to reach people for Christ. To go down and help people, yes. To give them water, yes. To give them food, yes. But to also give them the greatest gift that they could receive, which is Christ Jesus. And I can report to you today that we raised over the $5,000 that we needed. We gave them $7,500. Because you, in your bits and pieces, helped to do that. Because you came up here and you worked in the garage sales and the various other things we did to try to raise money, you participate. And it is the participation of all of us that reaches those folks. We can only do so much, but there's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing. Think about it. Can I create a blade of grass? No. But can God? Oh, yeah. And everything within that blade of grass, all of the molecules, all of the little things you cannot see, He can create. God gives you everything. When you're knowing that every breath you take is His gift, you should be saying thank you. You should be saying thank you every time you sleep or rest or have a meal. For every good and perfect thing didn't come from the sweat of your brow, it came from the blood on Jesus. Every good and perfect thing comes from God. And He has given you sufficient so that you can carry on. You can do the things that He has placed you here to do. You can, and you should. He knows every hair on your body. I used to say hair on your head, but then when went, God, his hair cut off. Not going to talk about you, Ken. Ken looked at me when I talked about him. He knows every hair, every follicle. He placed it there. He created you. And He created you to be like Jesus. He wants us to be like Jesus. Look around you. Is there anyone here who looks like Jesus? Well, yes. From what I see, people look like Jesus. Because I do not look with physical eyes, but spiritual eyes into your lives. And I see Christ there. I see Christ in the midst of you. He is with you. He loves you. He cares for you. You're to pray without ceasing to Jesus. Not only those things you need, but those things that are on your heart. Not just for the things that you want, but the things that are on your heart. You're to bring to Jesus. And the way that Jesus did. He told the Father, I only want to say those things that you say. I only want to do those things that you do. And that's what He did. He showed us the way to be pleasing to God. That we are to say the things that Jesus says. And they are kind and gentle and loving. And we're to do the things the Father tells us to do. We're to face whatever we face with the courage that Christ showed when He laid down His life on the cross. Through this communication, this communion with God, we find the one we depend on. Let me read to you some of what James said. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to do that for one another. There is power that comes from on high through us to the people. That's what James is saying. James is saying that we should, like Christ, try to do everything He taught us to do. He said, these things you do that I have done, you will do, and greater, because I go to be the Father. He wants you to be His presence on this earth, the physical presence. He's here with us spiritually all the time. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But He wants us to give ourselves up to Him that we could do what He wants us to do. We're to confess our sins. In our better moments, we acknowledge our guilt and we acknowledge that we fall short of the glory of God. But most of the time, we don't have a personal sense of sin in our lives. We say, oh, look at these people. Compared to them, I'm doing okay. Compared to the guy who is doing this, I'm doing fine. Compared to the guy that did that, I'm doing fine. I praise God that I am not as others are. The problem with that is that it makes us judge other people. And God has told us not to judge. We're not to judge one another. We're to love one another. We look around, we say, compared with them, I'm not so bad. But that's dangerous. Because it requires us to move out of the will of God. It requires us to look at their lifestyles and other things that they're doing and say, not but for the grace of God go I. But to say, they're condemned. That is a problem for each of us. When we think we're right, that's the most dangerous time in our life, because we're quite often not right with God. Because we hold in ourselves the confession of our sin. When we fall away from God by thinking about ourselves and our ways and not His ways. Next thing James teaches us is that our only hope is to make a confession of our sin and receive God's forgiveness. Confession is more than just a recognition of sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Everybody. There's nobody except Jesus who was sinless. We're all sinners in need of a Savior, which is why Jesus was sent to us. But that confession is more than regret. A confession is the admission of sin and the confession that we make a commitment that from this moment on, we will not be as we were. From this moment on. If you still are thinking about my duck analogy, think about it. He gave you wings. He gave you wings to fly. If you're not using that gift, if you're refusing to use the things, the power that God gave you, those things that you speak are, you speak those things that are not as though they were, and they shall be, because that's who God has created you to be. We refrain from the sin from this time forward. Confession is related to repentance. Abandoning our way and going God's way. You know, there's a movie, Are You Going God's Way? Bing Crosby starred. Going God's Way. I wish that everybody could listen to the words, doing God's will, not yours, not the government's, not your employers, but God's will. God is the ruler and maker of everything. Confession is vital because it becomes our sins become a stumbling block to others. If we do not confess to one another our sin, then we allow them to believe that we don't have any. And we do. We fail God. And that means we should confess our sins. We must just submit to God and make His will our own. Sin has broken our direct line to God. It breaks the fellowship we have with God. The sins that we bear without confession, without awareness of our sin, we continue to try to do things we can't do. Because we're not operating in God's strength. We're operating in our own strength. Sin has done that to us. Prayer is powerful. Wherever prayer or praise or petition or confession avails, it avails much in the mind of God. I do not understand. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You and I cannot conceive the mercy and grace and love and forgiveness of God. You cannot conceive it because you have not received it. If you've received it, you've only received it in part because it's your mercy. It's the grace that affects your life. It's the love that affects your life. It's the forgiveness that has affected all of our lives. And yet, God intends for His gift to saturate the earth, which is the reason He has sent His Holy Spirit. James goes on to teach of the restoration in verses 19 and 20. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from his error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. God values each of us as sinners, as unbelievers, so much that James is saying here that it covers a multitude of sins. The unbeliever's sins and our sins too. It covers everything. When we bring someone back to God, when we do something that helps someone to live for God, when we acknowledge God's power in our own lives and that testimony encourages someone else, we are covering a multitude of our own sins. People that don't know God are valued by God. He created them in His own image. We should not judge them. James tells us that their conversion will cover a multitude of their sins and ours. James knows that by the Holy Spirit speaking to him exactly what God wants. You may have waddled into this place today. Birds of a feather flock together. But God wants you here. And He has called you here for this moment. He wants you to know that He loves you. You are valued in His sight. He loves you so much. He sent His only Son to die for you on the cross. His love for you is unconditional. Unconditional. It means no matter what you have done, it is cast aside into the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. He will take you. Jesus said, whoever will may come. Whoever wants to come to Jesus. His arms are open. God wants you. He wants you so much. He sent His Son to die for you, and no price, not even the price of His own Son, was too high for you. You know, sometimes I look at cars and I look at them in magazines. I don't ever go to the car dealership because I'd be tempted. But I look at cars and I think, that car is going to cost this much money. That's just too high. There is no cost too high for you that God will pay for you. When we have ration care, and my mother-in-law is in a place where they have ration care in England, and they don't do anything. You may have an operation that you need, but you're already in your 80s, and so they don't do the operation. They kind of wait and put you in line, and you're last in line or whatever. My mother-in-law, it took her, 2 or 3 years to get hearing aids because they put her on a list, but they kind of waited from 91 to 93 or 94 to actually get her the hearing aids. God values you higher than that. There is nothing He will not do. Nikki, when she was in the hospital, in the emergency ward, couldn't breathe. She could not breathe. She could not get the breath of life. She had to move over on her side in order to breathe. She couldn't breathe on her other side. And we kept telling the attendants who would come in, well, she can't breathe on that side. She can only breathe when she's on this side. Every breath we take is a gift of God. He loves us unconditionally. You are God's chosen people. Yeah. Doesn't that make you want to puff up your chest and crow? Come on. You are God's chosen people. You have everything your Father has. You are co-inheritors with Christ. My goodness gracious, you have it all. Because He has given it all to you. God has anointed you, and He wants to come and make His presence in your life known throughout the world. He doesn't want you just to know that He is there. He wants everyone to know that He is there. He is indwelling you, and therefore He is indwelling this earth. And we're to share Him with those who come. He has given you the keys to the kingdom. He has given you eternal life. He has given your presence every moment of the day. He has given you the power to overcome. He has given you the abundant life. He has given you fearless faith. He has given you the forgiveness of your sins. He desires you to accept these gifts for the use of His glory. Before you say amen, waddle back into your homes. Consider this, that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. He gave us this day. The question is, what will you give Him today? What will you give God to put a smile on God's face? Will you submit to Him? Another layer of submission that you have never done before? Will you submit to Him for the first time to give your life to Him to use as He would direct? Will you say, for the rest of my life, for the rest of my life, I will serve Him in whatever capacity He wants me to serve? Because I don't have my whole life to give. I've only got this many minutes, or this many months, or this many years, or this many days, or this many. I've only got, but whatever I have, I give to Him. That is our invitation. Our invitation to life today is simply giving back to God what He has given to you. Giving back to God in a way that accomplishes His purpose on this earth. Today I heard Lynn say that he had gone into a hospital room and the man was 80 years old and he had had an operation. He needed another one. He needed quadruple bypass. He needed the likes of other things. Lynn said to him, "Smile, I'm not here to sell you anything." I thought that was wonderful. It created an atmosphere in which he could then share prayers with the family. That is what we're supposed to do. There is nothing impossible for God. Nothing. He can raise anybody up. He can do that for us today. Will you receive it? Receive and unpack and utilize the gifts that He has given you for His service, in His name.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.